Good afternoon, everybody. I am so excited to get started with our podcast for today. Our guest for today is Mr. Tom Bachman. He is the president and CEO of New Concept Technology. We at Emma International have been partners with New Concept Technology for many years now, and they are a contract manufacturer for a variety of industries, including medical devices, but also for automotive, aerospace, defense, and so much more. Tom, welcome. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you for having me, Carmine. I appreciate this opportunity.
Of course. So this is going to be a lot of fun, Tom. So I think we're going to get started by kind of shedding some light on New Concept and your organization and how you got into contract manufacturing. Take it away.
I'll do that, and I'll try to keep it brief. As we all love our own businesses, we don't like to hear about them. But as far as New Concept Technology goes, it was formed 35 years ago. We started in 1985, and we started as a tool builder. Although we had plans to get into manufacturing, we felt that it was critical that you had that good tooling capability, and that's still true today. So we were a tool builder for the first couple of years, and having established that and having that strong tooling capability, we next added stamping expertise, high-speed stamping, and then we followed that up with injection molding and finally assembly. After we had those core areas under control, we were able to move to what is now our core business of insert molding. And at that point, we became one of the largest reel-to-reel continuous insert molders in the country. That work was mainly for the telecommunications industry. Today, we have facilities in both York, Pennsylvania, as well as Hermosillo, Mexico. They are duplicate in capabilities, and we concentrate mainly on device manufacture, but we continue to support our customers for all their manufacturing needs.
That's fantastic. About how many employees do you have between the sites, Tom?
Yeah, today we employ about 150 at each site, so a total of 300 employees.
Okay, and you know, right now, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic with COVID-19. So I know that there are a lot of challenges that manufacturers, whether they're contract manufacturers or manufacturers in various industries, are faced with. So what are some of the challenges and the challenging areas that you think NCT is faced with today?
Well, I guess the major impact of the pandemic was when we really backed off on elective surgeries. That had a big impact on the device production. When you have a pretty lengthy supply chain window, that becomes a real challenge. So that was our biggest path moving forward. Now, we never closed because of our product lines. We were considered an essential business, so we never closed. But our volumes diminished drastically. So we did use that time. We continued to employ the people, but we spent most of the time on improving our processes in-house, naturally getting current on things. As far as the workforce, we had to guard all of them because the skilled resources are so difficult to come by, so we didn't really want to lose any of them. And I think it's pretty true with all contract manufacturers. Doesn't matter what industry you're in, the biggest impact was that end user reduction of business. Mm-hmm. I did want to add that it was quite a challenge to create a safe environment at the facilities, both facilities in Pennsylvania and Mexico. It was a pretty mirrored effort where naturally we put our employee safety first, and really dug in and followed some guidelines. I do want to say I appreciated a lot of the information we got from M International to help us through that as well. You know, we were able to implement the safety measures. Our people still wear masks today. It's a little easier for us because we have large facilities in both countries. So it made it easier for us to distance. And because of some of our automation, we don't really have people stacked up with each other.
That sounds good. So the question, just to kind of add on, you know, about the challenges for contract manufacturers in general, you know, we talked about in terms of the COVID-19 and the impact it had, but kind of, you know, let's expand on that, Tom. And what do you foresee, you know, areas of focus for your organization?
Great question, because these would be areas of focus whether the COVID pandemic had hit or not. They continue to be focuses for our facility. One of our big ones is, especially in the medical side, is product design assistance. In that area, we utilize both current and upcoming technologies for the best product results. One example of that we're currently doing is we're utilizing technology of chem etching strip. That's rather than using a high-speed stamp strip, which we normally do, we develop resources to purchase chem etch strip. And what you can do with that is you can get much sharper knives, and then we can overmold that into needles for test kits. It can be very high volume and low cost. So we're looking at different in product design. When we get involved with the customer, we look at, okay, how do we manufacture that product? What are the best things that we can do? Secondly, we move on to processing. That's the one that is in our most control. When you get into the processing, we live in a zero defect world, especially when you talk about medical devices. So what do you do to protect yourself and create that zero defect environment? I'm not talking 5 parts per million or 10 parts per million. I'm talking zero in both our injection molds and our stamping dies and also our assembly equipment. We're actually seeing the problems before they affect the product quality. Mm-hmm. And in that area, we can assure that we have defect-free products coming out. Third leg that we work on is machine capability. New Concept has a platform of latest equipment possessing faster speeds, machine intelligence, and greater accuracy than ever before. We have an extremely strong in-house automation group that completes that cycle with state-of-the-art assembly builds. And finally, and probably the biggest challenge of all, would be skilled technicians. It doesn't matter what contract manufacturer you speak with, they will always go to the lack of skilled resources. And yet, although it's the most challenging, it's actually it's the most easily addressed. And what I mean by that is that's just the solution to that is continued education in our schools, whether it be the high schools, trade schools, colleges. We need to get people more interested in contract manufacturing and give them the education they require. Naturally, math is critical to that. The way New Concept addresses that is that in addition to the 35-year running state-approved apprenticeship program that we have in-house, we also visit schools regularly to share the opportunities in medical manufacturing.
So one of the things that I think, you know, you brought up, Tom, as far as the skilled technicians, I think it's something that we all, to be honest with you, struggle with. I think even, you know, at EMMA International, we also have, finding the skilled resources and the core competencies that you're looking for is an ongoing struggle for us. And I think even, you know, for us as a life sciences oriented firm, I'm not sure about you guys in Pennsylvania, but for us in Michigan, we don't have, the market is just not there, you know, for life sciences. We don't have the pool of candidates. So we find ourselves with a lot of resources outside the state, or we have to relocate people from outside of the state to move them to Michigan. So it's definitely a challenge, you know, that is encountered by a lot of different companies, including us as a consultancy. So, and next area I wanted to kind of talk about is moving forward, so the future. So one of the things that I wanted to kind of get your opinion on is that, what we're seeing in the medical device space is a lot of focus and a trend on AI, so artificial intelligence and machine learning in the manufacturing of medical devices and the design of medical devices, as well as what's called software as a medical device. So there's a lot of emphasis on that. FDA is paying attention. They're actually producing a lot of guidance documents, and they're trying to help the industry. They put out a paper for regulating that space. So it's new to the industry as well as the FDA. And we have several clients that we're helping, you know, bringing their products to market with some very cool technologies. So from your perspective for new concept technology, how do you think this emphasis or focus on AI, so on artificial intelligence and machine learning, how would that benefit MCT?
Oh, my. This was probably the most exciting part of our business moving forward. And before I get into what we're doing, I also wanted to share with you, I read a white paper from your site on some of the protections you have in this artificial intelligence area. I appreciated that because that is something we're going to have to address. Now, as far as what is a contract manufacturer doing, that's why, and I'm not here to do a new concept sales talk, but it's the area that we're strongest in because we've had a background in telecommunications over previous years. Those technologies used historically in telecommunications are quickly, they have been and continue to migrate to the medical device arena. So what I mean by that is the technology in telecommunications has always been about speed. You know, how fast can we make that signal run and how small can we make the package? When I started into the trade, what they would call a fine pitch connector was 200,000 center lines. So you only got five connections per inch. Today, we're at half millimeter and less on our center line patch. Now we expand on that is something when I made comment to the insert molding that our company has focused on. We do some loose piece insert molding, but we also do this process that we call reel-to-reel insert molding. So what we're doing today is, and we term it embedded technology, where a lot of the components that used to reside on a circuit board, we're now building them right into the connection point of the unit. So we can further miniaturize the devices required, and yet at the same time, we're increasing speeds and reliability of the devices. I am really excited about this push towards the AI movement and both implantable and wearable devices and where this is going to take us. It is going to be probably the strongest part of our business. And it doesn't even limit itself on the medical business. Even the automotive industry, you know, when you're going to this, the autonomous driving cars and such, we're using these technologies in all the industrial areas.
No, I totally agree. It's not restricted to or limited to medical devices. You're absolutely right. I think it's, look at the Tesla as a vehicle. I mean, it's got a lot of AI. I know my car does. And so I actually wanted to kind of have a quick follow-up question. It's something that you mention all the time. So I want you to kind of explain to the audience, and I believe it's something unique. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's unique to MCT, which is the reel-to-reel molding. Can you tell us and the audience, what is that? What does that mean?
That is. Thank you, because that's in the industry, it just becomes a buzzword. Reel-to-reel continuous molding, it somewhat starts at a stamping process where you'll stamp components, but they stay on the strip. They retain the final part stays on the strip. And it's so the material comes, the reason for the term reel-to-reel, the material comes off of one reel and you wind it up on another reel. Then you'll take that reel, you'll the majority of times you'll plate those parts. So that goes to a plating machine, which in turn takes it off of one reel, runs it through the process, brings it up on the other reel. Now, at that point, it used to go to assembly machines, but what we developed, and others as well, is that we now can take it right to a molding machine and do exactly the same process, and we can overmold around that, whether it be a contact or whatever. But when I talk about embedded technologies, besides just overmolding the contact, and I'll give you a layman's example of that, is if you were to unhook the back of your washing machine connector that you plug on, that is an overmolded terminal. So what you can do, though, is now we can even embed, like whether it be a resistor, a capacitor, we can embed that right into that connector. So we just continue to eliminate circuit board space. So these are all things adding to the ability to do the artificial intelligence and these embedded devices.
So if I understood you correctly, that sounds like also it will help in terms of efficiency, so you can actually produce smaller devices. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. The example I used early on about the overmolded needles for testing, the reason that we're going to the chem etch system is because in a stamping process, we could never get it sharp enough. You know, it would have to be a secondary process to sharpen that needle. But again, by keeping it on strip, as you said, you increase your speeds, your outputs. You know, as we come into both, as we create more test kits for this pandemic, and we continue to move forward to a vaccine and different technologies available to distribute that, we're talking billions, not millions, we're talking billions of units. And back to the initial comment, every one of them has to be perfect.
Thank you for that. That makes sense. In terms of, you know, having a facility, you know, in York, Pennsylvania, and a question that comes to mind, Tom, what is, you know, talk to us about your ability to scale up and, you know, scale up of production. As you know, in the medical space, there is a need for contract manufacturers to be able to be flexible, to be able to manufacture in a high volumes and in an expedited way, but also in you know, good manufacturing practices and so forth. Talk to us about your facilities, both in Pennsylvania and in Mexico, and your ability to, A, scale up, and also the workforce and the talent as well.
Well, as far as real estate goes, that is one of the reasons we moved to our current facility. It's fairly large. It's 200,000 square feet. And what we wanted, the reason we went to such a large facility is just the reason that you brought up, is as you develop products, you have to be able to scale and scale quickly. So not only has that extra floor space been advantageous to us, the automation that we've concentrated on over the past 10 years has continually freed up more space. So we keep that in mind whenever we quote anything for a customer, is the scaling as far as state goes. That's never been a problem for us, nor will it be. We have the same situation in Mexico. Our facility, as we grew that, we made sure that we happened to be in a lease facility, and we actually leased the entire facility. Not that we needed it, but just because of this future growth. I think it goes back to the most demanding one is the skilled resources to fill those. Mm-hmm. That's where, you know, I depend on M International. And I hope we have time, Carmine, to get into some of the things that your company has done to us.
In fact, did you want to add anything, or I think we can jump to the next topic? So to talk about, you know, the M International piece that you just brought up. So it's, you know, one of the things that obviously our listeners are aware of is the fact that, you know, FDA, but also in the EU, there is a constant, you know, an ongoing changes in the regulatory landscape. So one of the things that contract manufacturers need is not only a quality management system and the necessary certifications, you know, from ISO certifications and as well as other certifications and registrations, but also they need to have that flexibility so that they meet the compliance needs, but also they accomplish their business goals and objectives. So I think, you know, Tom, if you want to talk to us about how we were able to help you accomplish your goals as far as, you know, our intervention and kind of, you know, building your quality system, and what are your thoughts about our approach and how we accomplished that, and how were you able to benefit from that?
Well, as you certainly know, it's much appreciated. And for the audience here, to let them know, when I contacted M International, new concept technology was ISO 9001 registered. That's the only registration we have. And I'll admit that even it wasn't as robust. Now that we know what true quality systems are, it wasn't as robust as we needed our system to be. And having the desire to work in both medical but also the automotive arena, that created a real challenge for us. It was being recommended that we have two quality systems, and we just, that's not a, in my opinion, that's not a game plan for success. So I reached out to your organization, and your group came in and did a gap analysis for us. We determined that our quality system was outdated and needed replaced. So at that point, M International made a proposal, which was accepted, and we went upon the journey to implement a new QMS system, which was designed by M International, and it's compliant to both the 13485 medical standard as well as the IATF 16949. And there were certainly challenges along the way. One of the most appreciative of was the fact, when you talk about resources, at that point in time, New Concept did not have the depth of resources needed to really work in such regulated areas as medical and even automotive, where M International was able to bring some resources in to fill those gaps and also help train the new people that we were hiring to take those positions. So I know it led to where we are today. You know, telecommunications, one of the reasons that we wanted to move more into medical and automotive was that telecommunications was exiting more towards the Asian market, and it continues to do that today. But it's still a strong part of business for us, but not nearly as strong as the medical and automotive. But as we continue to move forward, Carmine, our team, they continue to reach out to your folks because we're a contract manufacturer, and we need that added expertise on the quality, and especially, again, these are very highly regulated areas.
I think you pretty much covered what we've done for your organization. I think the only thing I would add is one of the things that we specialize in and approach in terms of our methodology is we like to approach organizations like NCT and develop integrated quality systems. And for those of you listening who don't know what that means, essentially it's a quality system that is compliant with a variety of standards. So that way, like Tom mentioned, you don't have to have standalone or separate quality systems, which would create a burden on your employees, on your organization, and it would be a costly nightmare, quite frankly. And it would lead to non-compliance. We've seen it with a lot of clients that if they have a couple of different business units and they have different quality systems, that means they have different sets of procedures, and and the employees get confused what to follow when, where, for what product line. So it gets confusing. So I think what we've concluded after, you know, helping a lot of clients is that the best approach is to build those integrated quality systems. So that's the only thing I would add to what you stated, Tom, is that our approach and how we differ from others is that the way we, the methodology we utilize and how we go about building those quality systems, for especially for contract manufacturers like NCT that serve a lot of different industries. I think we covered a lot of topics today, Tom, and I know you're a busy guy, so I don't want to take a lot of your time, but is there anything else that you think, you know, with not only the pandemic, but we talked about, you know, the artificial intelligence and it's an election season. So what kind of closing remarks that you want to touch on before we wrap up our podcast for today?
Well, I first of all, again, appreciate the opportunity, but I'd sum it up in one word, and that's excitement. I think it's time to ignore the television and ignore the reports. We're coming into a very strong, we've been in a very strong market. We just have to, how should I say, we just have to reinvent ourselves. You know, this country has tremendous resources. And, you know, yours being one of them, for a contract manufacturer, we have to concentrate on continual improvement. We have to improve our capability. We have to increase our capacity. But this is not a time to hunker down. This is a time to move. And I am excited about it, to tell you the truth.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's always a pleasure to catch up and chat with you. I appreciate you taking your time to chat with us today about NCT, and I certainly wish you the best of luck for you and your organization. Thanks so much.
And to you as well, Carmine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening to the EMMA podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions about the topics that were covered in today's podcast, please feel free to contact us at 248-987-4497 or via email at info@emmainternational.com. Also, be sure to follow our social media networks so you can stay up to date on all things EMMA International. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.